that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
It's, timey-wimey thing.
Timey what? Timey-wimey?
I've no idea where he picks that stuff up.
Here we are again with the Timey Wimey Podcast Hour. I'm Ronnie.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Shane.
And our mission was to watch a couple pre-Eccleston Doctor Who episodes and then report back. So that's what we're going to do tonight.
Awesome.
Austin, you want to go first?
Sure. I watched the four-part Hand of Fear, or Fear of the Hand, whichever, of the Tom Baker series.
Okay.
And then you and I watched The Robot for his first episode on the watch-along.
Yeah.
And then I watched the rest of the four-parter today.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was pretty cool because he actually got to use his sonic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it was like the first time for the first four episodes that he got to use it. And it was cool because he got to melt the lock.
He melted the lock with it?
He melted a lock on it. Like, full-on Anakin lightsaber in the door, melt the lock.
Wow.
You should be able to. Hit the right frequency, you should just melt it right away.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
So what was the episodes actually about?
It was, which ones? The robot ones?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that
one. Just continuing off the story from... Okay, so on the watch-along, we watched Robot 1, which introduced K-1, which was just a giant robot, clunky, metal Cyberman, but not really looking character.
Right.
And he was built by the character Professor Blackwell?
Yeah, I think so. Or Kipwell.
Yeah, Kettlewell.
Kettlewell, maybe.
And he was basically used to... Or he wanted him to be like the helper of humanity. But the scientists called the SRS, which looks a lot like Nazis, except with green and yellow, wanted it to be like the Hitman type robot.
Wow.
So basically, what we didn't know about in the first episode was that the robot was stealing secret plans, or we found that out. But what was in the plans was the launch codes from Russia and America and China, because they picked Britain to be the neutral mediator.
Okay.
And the SRS wanted to use the robot to set off all the nukes and hide out in a bunker. And the Sarah Jane's biggest concern was, because the robot wasn't designed for killing, if it was making the robot insane and feeling, and she felt sorry for it. Well, then you find out that the robot does feel pain and it is going slowly insane from killing everybody.
Right,
then she like mind raves into being human again.
So it's like the AI type story of like, does it have feelings or is it humanized type thing. So what did you think of Tom Baker?
He's not one of my favorite doctors, and
is now?
Yeah.
Was that because
I didn't really know about him, so I didn't really care. Well, but then now I just want to watch his entire run.
Why though?
Why?
Yeah.
Because he's like, he kind of has that
scarf. It's a scarf and a head.
It's not just the scarf, but he's kind of like a smartass.
Yeah.
But not in a Eccleston kind of way. He like doesn't mean to, but he means to.
Right.
And
kind of like in this like, Sherlock, I told you so.
And he's
type
like subtle. He's subtle about it too.
Right.
And then he's an interesting doctor.
But did he offer anybody a jelly bear?
He did not.
Jelly bear.
Not in that episode.
He did the watch along one that we did. He did the nose thing.
Yeah.
That, and like I was talking to Austin about, like going back and watching The Day of the Doctor, and he was the curator at the end, and like now he understands why he did the nose thing. Or seeing a lot of the older episodes again, like for us, would be refreshers for a while.
Yeah, because I watched today. I watched the Sontaran experiment, the first part of it. It was a two-parter, and I seen, you know, they was using a transmat net, and I'd forgotten that I'm using, you know,
right,
transmat all the way way back then.
Yeah.
And Sarah Jane was super hot back in the day.
Yeah.
And she looked good for an old woman, you know.
Yeah.
Probably don't look too good now, but anyways, it was I was getting a big kick out of it because the guys they had playing the lost astronauts,
mm-hmm.
they were all super Scottish,
mm-hmm.
and you know, like you couldn't hardly understand what they were saying, man. I'm like, right. Come on, man, y'all couldn't find anybody who spoke a little bit better English than there, and that, you know, for extras and doing the poor Sontaran, man. he looked like a Sontaran. But he'd been out in the sun, you know, and it was like a million degrees outside, and he was half melted. That's how bad the face was on it. It was quite something, man.
And that was Tom Baker too, right?
Yeah, that was Tom Baker.
Yeah,
I can't remember the guy's name that traveled with him, sir. And was the guy
Ian?
It might have been. I can't remember.
I think it was Ian.
Ian or Colin or something.
Or it might have been Colin.
Something like that. I can't remember.
Was he a doctor type?
No, I don't remember. He was just with him, you know. Because I just picked one out of the batch. It was a two-parter.
Okay.
It'd actually be like the second episode of Tom Baker's first run after the four-parter.
Okay. Yeah.
I do believe. And it was you just get a good laugh out of just, you know, how cheesy it is and
right
and everything. But back in the day, man, it was the bomb.
Yeah. See, I watched John Pertwee's first and second episode because I picked him because. Him and Troughton are the two that I haven't seen that much of, and I always heard that he was, like, back then, he was, like, the more popular one, besides Baker, you know, because he hadn't been one yet, but I could see why, because he was more the suave, like, James Bond
style. Yeah, he was James Bond style, and he was more action-oriented.
Yeah.
He would actually karate chop somebody, you know.
Yeah, right.
His whatever karate, he knew. Yeah, he was he was something else.
And
a little more flamboyant.
And this one, like, I know when we watched, when Austin and I watched the watch along and we watched the first Baker episode, they had the regeneration then, but his really wasn't. He just, like, fell out of the TARDIS, like, when it was landed in the field. And then they rushed him to the hospital, and of course they had to do tests on him and stuff. And then the Brigadier was there, and I was trying to figure out if it was the first Brigadier or the second one.
Dark hair, mustache.
Yeah,
I think
because the Brigadier's with Baker, but like,
yeah, I can't remember.
I know that they're. Because that was the cool thing, like, in this past Christmas episode, was Gaddis's character. Like, he was the great-grandfather or whatever of the Brigadier.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Yeah, but can't get away from them.
Yeah, and so, and I thought that was funny, which I didn't really, I wouldn't have put two and two together if we didn't start go back and watch it, because I didn't know their names, I just knew their...
Because there's always a ton of references to older stuff that I don't remember, you know.
Yeah.
Until I see it again.
Yeah, right.
Like Bad Wolf, it's everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
But,
about the regeneration, his was more of a blink and you'll miss it type regeneration. You know what I'm saying?
Tom Baker's?
Yeah.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
he, like, regenerated into Tom Baker.
Yeah.
Because, like, Eccleston was, like, a light show.
Well, yeah. And then, I think that was the first time that it was actual... Like light show.
Yeah, big production.
Yeah.
Regeneration, yeah.
The other one I watched was The Hand of Fear, I think. I want to call it that. But basically, the doctor, which is Tom Baker doctor, and mm-hmm. Sarah Jane are walking through a rock quarry, and this guy's yelling at them, and they're trying to figure out where they're at. And the doctor's like, maybe that guy can help. And then the guy's like waving, telling him to get the hell out of the quarry because it's going to blow up. And the doctor's like, oh, hi. And then it blows up. and like Sarah's trapped under a few rocks, and the doctor like hit his head, and then like she thought it was the doctor reaching out to help her, but it was just a disembodied hand.
Right.
And she grabs it, and then she like freaks out and like tenses up and becomes unresponsive, so they take her to the hospital. Well, she wakes up and she's kind of like mind controlled, mm-hmm. I want to say, and then they don't know why. Well, she like escapes the doctor in the hospital and goes to a power plant, and then the hand starts regenerating, and then it turns out it's like some kind of entity. It like took this disintegrated world, like pre-Earth world,
mm-hmm.
and turned it into a working civilization and everything, and then aliens came and destroyed it or whatever. And so then the doctor, against his will, or no, he more wants to help her, but Sarah Jane doesn't want to, and they take the entity to her planet, and she basically gets poisoned with a dart, and they don't know that the aliens are there,
mm-hmm.
and then like they fight the aliens and like put her in the her own regeneration chamber thing, and then it ends with them, with Sarah Jane and the doctor leaving, and the Earth being, or the planet being returned to normal or whatever.
Right.
Was it in our universe or
no? It might have been. I don't know. The doctor was trying to say it was like a fixed point or whatever.
Right.
But she wouldn't listen to him, and they went back and started to fix it. It was like really interesting in the beginning, because like some guy actually died because he was like researching the hand and didn't know about it and touched it and got under control, and he went to kill the doctor by like pushing him off a ledge in the power plant. The doctor's like, nah, fam, and then the guy flips over and he just falls and dies.
That's like two different episodes where Baker's fell down something and hit his head, knocked himself stupid, you know?
Right.
Yeah, he's a stumble butt.
Funny stumble butt.
I noticed watching the Pertwee ones was like Capaldi's outfit,
mm-hmm.
kind of resembled it a lot because it was black with the red like inner lining, I guess. I mean, it wasn't like spot on, but because like I said, Pertwee was more like Dapper Dan.
Yeah, he was a fancy Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Especially that piratey bloomy shirt thing he always wore, man.
And I also rewatched the Five Doctor-ish.
The five-ish Doctors?
Yeah, the Five-ish Doctors.
That was funny. That was funny as hell.
Yeah, because it... And for those who haven't seen it, and I don't know if you have,
Austin. I have not.
But
you gotta watch it.
It's like... quote unquote like documentary type thing before they made the 50th anniversary, which was the day of the doctor.
Yeah, they did that because they didn't get cast in the show.
Right.
Yeah, they kind of got kind of pissy over that, sort of pissy, but not really pissy. So they let the BBC told them go ahead and do that. And,
yeah. So I did watch the three doctors. And it was Peter Davison, Sylvester McCoy,
yep.
and
Davison.
Colin Baker.
Yeah, Colin Baker.
Yeah, and then you had guest appearances by...
John McCann, or Paul McCann.
Paul McCann, yeah. And then John Barrowman was in it.
Yeah, Tennant was in it.
Tennant's wife was in it, which is Davison's daughter, because they called in, you know... actually, at the very beginning, Sean Pertwee, which is John Pertwee's son, who is actually Alfred on Gotham, they were in it because they were just talking about the 50th, I think. Like, they were on set somewhere or whatever.
The best one about that is when he's bitching about couldn't find his DVD of his favorite Doctor Who episode.
Yeah.
And his wife and daughters kept throwing it away.
Yeah.
So, you gotta buy another one.
Yeah. That was Colin Baker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got, like, 50 stored up in the room. It's like, you thought.
So, basically, they kept calling Stephen Moffat...
Oh, yeah, calling him,
trying to pitch him to be in the 50th. And then the funny thing is they actually got in, and they were the Daleks.
Zygons.
No, they were the Daleks.
Zygons. They were the Zygons under the sheet.
Yeah, yeah.
Might have to see a fight.
Yeah, then, but they were also in the Dalek.
Yeah.
And so then after they celebrated or whatever, then Russell T. Davis called Peter.
And then the one where Moffat was sitting there playing his desk, playing with his Doctor Who toys.
Playing with Doctor Who toys, yeah. His Tennant and Matt Smith one.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, and told the secretary not to disturb him and have everybody go to voicemail or whatever.
Yeah, that was funny as hell.
Yeah. It was just kind of a one-off, off-the-cuff thing. And I noticed also that that'd be one... Like, knowing that, like, to go to Cardiff and actually go through the Doctor Who experience thing that they there.
I was reading it's going to close that down. Just because, you know, eventually, you know, people just kind of quit going, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's new and, you know, so it'd be cool to go.
Yeah.
I would like it.
Or just go to Cardiff and take a picture there in front of the Torchwood, you know, thing where they always supposedly go underground there. It's a monument thing. Yeah. How's that? That'd be kind of cool to see.
Too, yeah.
I do love Torchwood, so that would be amazing.
Yeah. And I saw that on Amazon Prime that they have the, like, leading up to the 50th, remember? Like, they had the best of monsters, mm-hmm. the best of whatever. And then they had recap of the doctors where it was, like, an hour long.
Yeah, and they always had, like, doctors' best companions and best monsters and, you know, this, that, and everything else.
Well, they had the recap of each doctor leading up to, well, I guess, Capaldi at that time.
Yeah, because I still haven't seen any with Hartnell or Trout in them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or maybe even Colin Baker, because that's... You know, I can remember the first ones I seen was pretty much from Baker this way, and not too much the other way. I need to go back and watch them all.
Yeah. Well, were you just out of it when Colin took over then?
Well, just like I said, I don't remember.
Well, it was PBS too, so it's not like they played them in order.
Yeah,
it really
wasn't too much in order. I was whatever.
Yeah,
20 something at the time when it was on, and you know, you're like, woohoo, I got other things to do.
Right. Yeah.
This is, I don't know if this is like relevant to what we're talking about. Probably isn't, but I went and watched, or I started to watch Blink over again.
Yeah.
And it was the scene where the girl starts ripping the panels off the wall or whatever, and then it had left messages for her,
uh-huh.
and it says, like, Sally Sparrow, duck now, and she, like, ducks, and the ball comes flying in, and I was like, so did the angels trick people back then from staring at them? Because, like, you never see an angel throw a ball again after that.
Right.
Technically, you didn't see it throw the ball anyway. You just saw a ball fly in, and then the angel was there. But
right.
I didn't understand that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the whole lore about the angels anyways, is they're always moving unless you're staring at them. So.
I didn't understand. Because, like, the angel, technically, if they move without people seeing them, they wouldn't have had to throw the ball in the first place. It could have just ran up and...
Well, they had
killed her.
They had to do something for the story, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's like playing the game Red Light, Green Light type thing.
Yeah.
They're throwing balls at us.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but, I mean...
How do you beat a Dalek? Run upstairs.
Not anymore.
Yeah, that used to be the way. They couldn't do stairs. That was their biggest downfall.
Yeah.
Guess what? They can do stairs now.
Yeah, they can.
And now you're not safe.
Anywho, we've all pretty much discussed the ones we've watched this week. I had a thought and it's gone.
And it's gone. We got really good feedback on the watch-along, listen-along episode, so we will do more of those and put those out sporadically. Shane and I's episode hasn't came out yet, but...
Thanks, Sydney!
Yeah. And then Austin and I will do more. What we had planned probably is Austin and I will do... I mean, there is no plan really, but Austin and I will probably do the newish-er ones, and then Shane and I can do the older ones, unless there's actual episodes that you guys want us to
hack on.
Watch along and do specifically, then you can tweet it, tweet us or whatever.
And then we can also, in episodes, us three could do documentary instead of, or commentary instead of just two at a time.
Yeah, we'll,
it's just easier for you and your dad being just right there. You know, you're going to do that day. You're like, hey, let's do it. Let's, you know,
But yeah, we will. I would like for all three of us to do one. So
that's fine too. I got no problem with that at all.
And even, I mean, even if, yeah, I mean, because it just seems like I'm the pivot guy that's going back and forth.
You're the pivot man.
But I mean, I'm sure you guys doing commentary would be pretty hilarious too. So
we can come up with something.
And we got a couple of suggestions from a couple of different people, and like I was saying, that was our first time doing it, so we didn't really know what we were doing basically. So it'll evolve and hopefully get better. I mean, everybody seemed to like it. I haven't heard a negative thing, and it's social media, so
yeah. You think if they didn't like it, they'd tell us.
Yeah.
Damn keyboard warrior.
Yeah.
Internet tough guys.
Won't fight me IRL, bro.
Well, you shot my question out that I had for you.
What was that?
Was because of the watching the Five-ish Doctors. I almost went back and watched like a Colin Baker episode because I've maybe seen like one or two, or remember one or two, but like his doctor seemed like quirky-ish, like even more so than like Matt's.
Yeah, I can't remember. I may have watched some of it, and it just didn't stick with me because I don't know. He just, it's like Sylvester McCoy. Also, he was kind of a goofball too.
Yeah, his seemed like, if I'm remembering it right, which probably not, but he was more like the detective style, like one that had quirky parts. Like, I mean,
yeah,
he had question marks all over him.
Maybe I just, you know, I'm not remember, you know, nostalgia. You know how that shit works.
Yeah.
It's like your favorite toy as a kid. If you went and bought it now, you'd be like, oh, what did I play this piece of junk for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, and that's going back, is like, I still love, like, these episodes, but, like, going back and watching some is like, oh man, like you could see, like when we were watching the Tom Baker first episode, like part of it, of his hand was just like a wire, and then like a claw thing.
I know.
So, you know,
I remember one time I was watching, I can't remember what it was. I know it was Tom Baker, and but they had a dinosaur on it, and dude, it wasn't even good stop motion. You know,
yeah,
nowhere even near good stop motion. And it was like, oh, come on, man. Land of the Lost was better than this, and it was crappy.
Right. And, like, in that episode, too, like, the robot was supposed to come up from the prison cell, and you can tell that it was a wood bit.
On clay.
But, of course, you know, it was, like, quick thing.
Yeah.
But, like, back then, I mean, that was, like, state-of-the-art type stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, you only do so much with $15 budget every week, but, you know.
Yeah.
Found out why that robot was bulletproof. Dr. Kettlewell explains to the doctor and to Sarah Jane that he invented a living metal, and it like basically can grow. So it was like cells, but like they could also like harden and like stay in one place.
So he was K-1.
Yeah.
So he was like eight previous versions of
K-9.
Of K-9.
That's kind of interesting.
Einstein's theory that lesser animals are more intelligent and better than humans.
Yeah, like with my Pertwee episode, it was basically just comets were falling, and they were like little alien guys that like slug guys that like absorb type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it was a four-parter, and I only watched two parts, so I don't actually know how it all ends. But like when there's innocent bystander in the field, and like when the comet or asteroids or whatever actually hit it just looks like dynamite blowing up in the field, and then, you know, you go get it, and it's just like this rock that's painted gold that they shine a flashlight on.
That could have been.
Make it like, but I mean, like, I had fun doing the commentary thing. So,
I did as well.
But it's just going back and, like, watching those things, like, oh, not how much cheesy it is, but it's, and yeah, we make funny comments about it and stuff, but it's more like the appreciation of how it, how we got to now.
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't, you know, people don't understand, you know, back in the day they had to do it all with, you know, wood bits and clay and, well, the crazy robot they had in that one I watched today, he was, yeah, it was still a cheese wang robot, but somebody put a little bit of thought in it, you know, even though you could tell it was supposed to be floating across the ground, it was on wheels, but, you know, but it, somebody had a little bit of, you know, old-time robotics experience, you know, it's, they did it a little bit better than some of them. They had an extra $5 that week, somebody didn't show up for work.
Back to the special effects style of it. In the Tom Baker first episode, it said that there were tread marks from where the robot was, and later, while the robot's chasing after Sarah Jane, you can totally tell that it's a robot wobbling rather than rolling on tread. And then they just, like, completely flipped everything about it.
Well, yeah, that's true, because they said that it had tread marks, and then Tom Baker was, like, looking at the imprint. The footprint. Yeah, so I was like, okay.
That doesn't look like tread. And then it was so easily cut through the electric fence, and I'm like, oh, might as well shoot it.
And I like, and going back, it also makes me, for me anyway, I don't know about you guys, but, like, for me, it appreciates even the ones that weren't so much my favorite, but, like, how different they are compared to the other ones. Because, like, Hartnell, which I haven't seen that many of, but, like, he was supposed to be, like, the hard-nosed, like, no-nonsense type guy. And, or doctor, or whatever.
Well, he treated everybody like retards, too.
Something I noticed was that, like, a lot in the Baker episodes I watched, he didn't run. He, like, took the buggy or whatever. And, like, going back and watching Tenet or Eccleston, they're, like, hauling ass down
All they did was run.
I also can, like, appreciate, because you talked about how you were a kid watching Doctor Who, and that was, like, the thing. And it was, like, grade A technology. And I grew up with Smallville and stuff like in Supernatural, where the effects are amazing. And then going back and seeing, like, a rock that's shiny or whatever. And I was like,
a painted rock with a flashlight.
I was like, thank God I wasn't born in that era.
You wouldn't know no different, dude.
You'd
have thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
Why can't I do that?
You know, a lot of them old shows, you know, like, well, you know, even the original Star Trek, and, or hell, even all the way up through Battlestar Galactica and stuff, you could tell it was all green screened and, you know, pretty crusty green screening.
Or, like, little model ships. That, you know.
Hey, look, you can totally not see that wire.
Fishing
string.
Referencing when we talked about regenerations in past episodes, and we talked about the TARDIS regeneration, I liked how when we were doing the watch-along, we pointed out that the sign went from white, or to from black with white font, to now being white with black font. And I just thought that was cool.
And also, to bring point to that, like, Pertwee's TARDIS was different than Tom Baker's TARDIS.
Yeah.
I mean, the size, it was still small or whatnot, but, like, the color, it wasn't like an electric blue TARDIS like it is now. It was more like a dark, real dark, like midnight blue.
You brought up the TARDIS being smaller when we did that watch along, and I didn't understand if you meant, like, now the TARDIS on the outside is smaller, or if back then it was smaller. Because, well, I saw it as, like, a big box, and then, like, now you look at it, and it's like, that's smaller on the outside.
Well, it's bigger on Like, the prop itself is bigger now on the outside than what it was back
then. Oh, yeah. It's
like, it was just like a wardrobe or whatever.
The outer dimensions are almost at least a half size, you know, one half times bigger than what the original ones were back then.
Yeah.
You know, they was having a hell of a time squeezing into that damn prop back in the day, you know. Yeah. And now at least, you know, they get three or four people in it.
Yeah. Which is great, because that's where Peter Davison and Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy, they all went into the TARDIS at the Doctor Who Experience. And it was just basically a wardrobe that was painted like it. And Colin Baker goes, "What planet are you even from?" Like, they knew that it was just a prop, but they wanted to go in there because they thought it was the actual TARDIS.
Yep. That's
hilarious.
And I think that was the first time that they actually made a reference. Because I know, like, Capaldi's made the reference like two or three times about it being darker, and I can't remember the actual term that they use, like more modern, not
weathered.
No, like where it's like streamlined, or the colors are with the flow of, or how you're supposed to make a feel or whatever. But that's how, like, the first time, like, Colin Baker's like, everything's, I can't remember. If I remember, I'll tweet it out when we put this episode out, but he's like, I can't even see it because the colors are so dark, and where's my bright panels at, or, you know, whatever.
It kind of went to match the personalities.
Yeah.
When they changed it.
Yeah.
Supposedly. Because you look at it, Matt Smith's TARDIS was actually a lot brighter than Capaldi's was.
Yeah. And I don't think it's something dynamic. It's not aerodynamic, I know, but it's like...
Visual
something dynamic. Yeah. But, yeah.
Talking about specials and the 50th anniversary, one of my favorite parts was the three TARDISes being in the same room. And when, was it Matt, that when I walked out of the TARDIS and all the doctors were standing there? And, like, looking out in space.
Oh, yeah.
Was it that? I just wanted to make sure, because that was pretty cool, too. And, like, seeing him stand next to the doctors I grew up with was still pretty cool, too.
Yeah. Because that was basically, like, the painting or whatever. Yeah. Like, when he hid Gallifrey in one of the rooms on the TARDIS or whatever. Or the actual battle or city or whatever it was.
Exactly. You think back about it now. You, like, they had that little... there, frozen in time, that little piece of it. Mm-hmm. And then he went back to Gallifrey.
Yeah.
Capaldi did. Like,
Your continuity doesn't add up.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah.
Yeah, they're...
Like, talking about the colors of the TARDIS, when we saw the Ward Doctor's TARDIS in the same room as, like, Matt Smith and Tennant's, you could kind of tell it was more different, because you can see the shadings...
Yeah.
Compared, and then the window texture and shading as well.
Yeah. The cool thing is that I thought was, like, because Tom Baker's the first time I actually seen or remember seeing the key for the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And the shape of it has stayed pretty much the same throughout until now.
Yeah.
From then until, like, now.
It always had some kind of goofball design on it, you know. It was always like a special key. Now it's just a friggin' old lock key. You know, it's nothing special.
Yeah. Like a master skeleton lock key or something. But, yeah. Definitely.
And the robot, which was the Tom Baker episode you and I watched for the watch along, he, like, tries to infiltrate the Social Society, or they're called the SRS, and it stands for Science Reform Society, but the S's kind of look like Nazi S's, and their costumes are very Nazi-designed costumes, but instead of a swastika, it's like a little butterfly hourglass-looking thing, and their colors are green and yellow, so they kind of look like Hydra.
Yeah.
But they have to have a membership card. And Kettlewell's got one, because he's like, I think I've still got mine. And, like, him, he walks in and, like, sneaks Sarah Jane in, and Baker follows.
Were they a secret society?
No, actually they weren't. They were just, like, it was like a front. Like, But, like, looking at one of the members, like, yeah, those guys are up to something.
Nazi scientists.
Yeah, but Baker's, like, trying to infiltrate it, and he's, like, going through acting like has a membership card. And I was like, okay, is he going to pull out something resembling the psychic papers? Nope, he just, like, well, I guess I don't have it, and then, like, goes to leave. And the scientist is following, or one of the guys is following him, and he slips on Baker's scarf. And he's like, oops. And then just checks, make sure he's still breathing, and then just grabs his stuff and walks in.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't anything. And then, like, the lady, Winters or whatever her name is, the one that kept trying to be snobby to Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's, like, standing on the podium giving a speech, and, like, from history class, I could tell she was mocking Hitler because she, like, slammed the podium and was, like, talking really loud. Was
doing the whole...
Yeah. And trying to cheer everybody up and everything or whatever. And then she, like, introduces Kettlewell, and I was like, yeah, my dad called it.
Yeah.
You could tell by that hair, he looking like Eggman, so you know he's a bad scientist.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, he did have some crazy hair. Yeah, it was like stereotypical. Like stereotypical.
Pinkman's World
hair. Yeah. With like. It had like the Hulk Hogan style hair. Like the skullet type thing. Uh-huh. But like it was froed. Oh, so my. He was like bald in the on top.
Okay. Kind of like that dude off of Farscape.
Yeah.
Or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like. Back then, I mean, even maybe not so much now, but like the common thing, everybody wanted to beat up Nazis, right? So why not make them?
Well, Nazis are always going to be the bad. Oh, yes. Yes, that's an evil sign.
That's the K1. And like, obviously, you can tell it doesn't have treads.
Yeah, it don't have treads there. Yeah. It's got feet.
It's got giant robot shoes, or clown robot shoes.
Yeah. Yep. That's something else.
I don't know. I kind of like... Now going back, I mean, we'll have 13 for...
That's the Winters.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you can tell they're Nazis, right?
There's nothing Nazi about that at all, sir.
Yeah. So like,
it's either that or she's hailing Hydra.
But like going back, it's like... It's just cool to see, like, Tom Baker's, like, the, I don't even know what kind of personality or, he's, like, obliviously smart, but, I don't know.
Socially retarded.
Yeah. Like, socially awkward, not, like, you know.
He's like a super genius autistic person.
Yeah.
Shelton.
But like Pertwee, like I said, he was like the savvy, like, secret agent type, you know.
Swah.
With the, even with the right hand karate chop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knew some kind of funky monkey judo. Mondosian judo or something crazy, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a fighter.
And Tennant,
Tennant could fight.
I don't care what you say. Yeah, but I mean, like... He's a master swordsman.
Well, but... I don't know what you would classify him as, like, the romanticized one?
The Casanova?
Well, isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, you know what I mean?
Which one?
Tennant.
Yeah.
Because Matt would be more like the kooky...
He was more... He was a clown, man. You know, he was
just...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you'd...
Tennant was like the kid in high school that really doesn't care, but he passes all his classes, and once he figures it out, and then if you mess with him, he'll kick your ass type doctor. That's how I would say it as.
He didn't really want
to...
If he had the choice, he had to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was more like the lover than the fighter type thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, he wasn't like...
Matt Smith was a guy you whoop his ass every day, and then 3 months later, you'd find a friggin' some kind of chemical bomb in your locker, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He'd beat you down that way.
Yeah. And, like, Capaldi is, like... the browbeating style.
Oh, yeah, they catch you to death.
Yeah.
So, you know, scold you.
Yeah.
I saw a meme that says 9 is a tiger, 10 is hang on, I gotta find it, but it's hilarious because it like fits.
Yeah, well,
continue. I'll let you know when I find it.
Yeah, in the episode I watched today, the TARDIS wasn't even in it.
Really?
Yeah, because they got back to Earth, or I think it was Earth, to the transmat. From a space station that, you know, nobody had heard of.
Right.
You know.
The meme. It says 9 is a tiger, 10 is Tigger, 11 is an uncoordinated cat, and 12 is Grumpy Cat.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Grumpy Cat. That makes sense. Granddad.
Capaldi wasn't always grumpy. I mean, it was just.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's why I think not just the hair and not just because of the Christmas episode, but I think he was more like Hartnell, because Hartnell started out like grumpy, but yeah, by the time it ended, he had more humanity and like actually cared.
Yeah, real smart grandpa that was just,
yeah,
didn't have time to be messing with the kids, you know.
Right. Got more important his ways.
Got more important things to do, you know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't kid, I'm busy, you know.
Yeah. And I know I'm smarter than you, so I'm not even going to listen.
Yeah.
Type thing.
I'm not going to acknowledge your existence even half the time.
Right.
What? PE teacher. That's what he kept calling
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny,
yeah.
PE teacher.
Yeah. Anything else before we wrap it up?
I don't got anything else.
I think that'll about do it for me.
All right.
You clever boy.
Until next time, I'm Ronnie, and I'm at Rombar316.
I'm Austin, and I'm Shadowman3166.
And I'm Shane at Shaney Who.
And the show is at Timey Wimey Hour. Until next time.
Bye.
Alon Z.
Okay, you used to be me. You've done all this before. What happens next?
I don't remember. How can you forget this? Hey, hang on, it's not my fault. You're obviously not paying enough attention. Reverse the polarity.
Why are you pointing your screwdrivers like that? They're scientific instruments, not water pistols.
I demand to be incarcerated in the tower immediately with my co-conspirators, Sandshoes and Grandad.
Grandad?
They're not Sandshoes.